Soul Talk is a podcast dedicated to making space for Latinx storytellers and content creators across all media to chat about their art, experiences, and culture. As a branch of the Soul Project, Soul Talk welcomes you to the Green Room.
Hello, 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 everyone. Welcome back to Soul Talk. My name is Joey Reyes. My pronouns are they, them, and I am the associate producer at the Soul Project. And I'm here with...
Hi, everyone. It's David Mendizabal. I am the associate artistic director of the Soul Project. I use he, they pronouns, and I'm so excited to be back in the studio with you, Joey, and with our guest this week for Soul Talk. It's been a minute.
Yeah, it has been a minute. Y'all, the world is reopening slowly but surely, hopefully safely too, depending on where you're at. And that also means that people's schedules are filling up. And that's like amazing. I would want nothing less for people to get back to work and to be doing the things that they want to be doing and what they love. That being said, it does make it difficult sometimes to schedule. So we acknowledge it has been a minute since a new episode has dropped. And we appreciate you sticking with us on this journey as we continue to record this season of Soul Talk.
A little anticipation never hurt anybody, right?
Exactly. but yes, we are so excited for our guests today. Let me tell you a little bit about them. We are being joined by Ricardo Sebastian. Ricardo is a first-generation Mexican-American, a longtime entrepreneur and community organizer who recently came out as non-binary. They have dedicated their career to supporting creatives and nonprofit organizations across the US, Canada, Mexico, South America, Paris, London, and Australia. Past clients include Gage John Lazari, I hope I'm saying that correctly, Mama Cuisine, Julius LaCour, Diego Montoya, and Habitat for Humanity New York City. Ricardo began managing Jason Rodriguez in 2019 and is taking this next step to spotlight the importance of BIPOC, queer, and trans representation in all spaces. And in particular, that last line there in their bio is referencing the launch of their new agency called Aragency, which was co-founded by Ricardo and their client, Jason Rodriguez. Aragency places an important and specific spotlight on equity, diversity, and inclusion to better meet the needs of BIPOC, queer, and trans creatives in the entertainment industry and ensure equal access to opportunities for all. So we're going to be diving in today and hearing a little bit about how this venture came to be and this launch. They officially launched in August of this year, 2021, and there was a big press release in Variety magazines, beautiful photos of Jason and Ricardo, and they launched with 6 clients signed on. You can find on their website and read a little bit more about the artists that they've signed and launched with. It's just a really exciting venture.
Yeah. I mean, I remember when that announcement came out and I got a message from you, Joey, that was like, we need to get them on the podcast, you know, and we just have been trying to connect with Ricardo and Jason both. And, you know, we're lucky to have Ricardo today. Jason wasn't able to join us, but we're just so excited. You know, I think for both of us as queer people of color, just being like, oh my gosh, here are queer people of color working together to center other queer people of color and, you know, to build up community together is so thrilling. And, you know, we're seeing more and more groups and organizations and just people gather to sort of say, you know, how can we uplift each other? And so I'm so excited. I really have been like following this Aragency and like, you know, want to hire everyone that they have signed and everyone that has slid into their DMs trying to get signed, mm-hmm. you know, and I'm just so excited that a space like this exists that's centering not only queer and trans people of color, but also centering them in their wholeness, mm-hmm. you know, and wants them to bring all of the parts of themselves and not sort of package themselves neatly for capitalist consumption, but really say, no, bring yourself, be your whole self, and let's work together to make change, which I just think is so beautiful.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, thank you all again for tuning in, and we will be right back with Ricardo.
Hello, welcome to Soul Talk, Ricardo. How are you today?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for being here. We're so excited we could finally get you in the studio to chat about her agency and your work. You know, I mean, you know, Joey and I emailed back and forth when we saw the announcement of her agency, and we're like, oh my gosh, we have to get them on the podcast. Like, we have to talk to them. It's so exciting. It just feels like such an important mission and an important organization. I think especially now as we're like returning to the field of like and thinking about centering care and wholeness. And I'd love to hear from you. And I know we don't have Jason here today. Where did the idea come from? You know, and where and why did you feel like this needed to be formed?
Well, first of all, thank you for all the love and support. I was so excited when y'all reached out. And Jason says, hello. I'm so grateful to have Jason as a client and as a business partner. But as I mentioned in our emails, the last few months since launching have been really insane with our calendars. And we just, you know, we wanted to connect and share our story with you and also hear from you. So thank you for that. The birth of a Regency is a favorite story to share. For me, and Jason, our focus, our values have been centered around building up the community and extending our platforms to those around us. We've been doing it in different ways. So my first company I've had for 15 years now, and I've always focused on supporting communities, nonprofits, and what I like to refer as creative entrepreneurs, which is what led me to connecting with Jason in 2019 when he signed with me as a client. Jason, obviously as a dancer and an actor and a father in the ballroom community, has been doing the same kind of work in terms of, again, just extending our platforms. And as opportunities come our way, we don't interact with them as opportunities for ourselves. We always look at it and how can we grow? How can we add more people in? And that's just part of our core value system. So when Jason and I first met in 2019 to talk about doing a Pride event, we ended up in a very deep conversation about our aspirations professionally and personally. And as Jason was sharing, you know, a recap of everything that I just said, in my mind, I was like, oh my gosh, that's exactly how I interact with business. That's exactly how I interact with opportunity. And so there the partnership began. Also in that initial conversation, Jason had mentioned, I want to have a talent agency as one of the things that I create in my career. And so at the beginning of this year, 2021, you know, we're still in the midst of a global pandemic and everything has changed about, you know, the way we do business, the way we communicate, the way we connect. And so we were laying out the goals for the year and something just kept coming up. The same story that many of us in the community have heard, queer people of color being exploited, not getting paid, getting pushed out of visibility and representation. So Jason became very vocal about it's time to pursue this. And so at the beginning of the year, we're like, okay, we're going to start this journey. We're going to explore creating an agency. And then naturally the conversation about becoming business partners came up. And then like literally out of nowhere, Jason's like, we're doing this today. And I was like, girl, I have a calendar and it is full. But Jason shared with me another story of another community member being exploited in the industry. And we felt like, okay, you know, this, we have an opportunity to make a difference here. And so that day we literally just met up at a coffee shop and it felt endless. We were going through the process of, okay, is it agency? Is it management? Is it creative? Is it all the above? You know, who is the clientele? Who is the talent? What are Jason's responsibilities? What are my responsibilities? What's the name of the company? And it just turned into this all day thing. We pumped it out in like 12 hours. But I gotta say, like towards the end of it, we're about a little delusional, trying to come up with the name of the company because, you know, at this point in time, it's not just a company name. You know, you want it to be accessible on social media. You want the URL to be accessible. You want the state licensing to be accessible. And all these different names that we were coming up with were not available or they just didn't check all the boxes. And so At this point, it's like 10:45. I have like marinara sauce spilled on my shirt because we're like eating and working. And we're on like dictionary.com, thesaurus.com, just desperately, you know, looking up words. And Jason turns to me and he goes, he just reads the definition of array, which, you know, one of the definitions is an impressive collection of things. And I was like, oh, that's a really cute definition. He's like, what about array? And I was like, shh, don't say anything. And I went to the state website, checked for state filing. In my head, I'm like, check. Checked on social media, check. Checked on GoDaddy, check. And I was like, how about a regency? And we both just like lit up. And in that moment, we knew, okay, we've landed the name. We've outlined what this is. It's time to go full steam ahead. And so that's how it began.
So amazing. I love that you're in 12 hours. Just, I can see it, the marinara, the food, but the frenzy of it. I also think it's like when something is so on mission, and I love what you say about like these being your core values, this, which inherently also just feels so queer too, do you know, that it's not about the self. It really is about this like larger community and like how you're giving back, how you're really sort of dismantling this sort of patriarchal hierarchy of like, every man for his own, you know? And it's like, no, like we are here to take care of each other. So I love that. And I love how sort of fast it came together, because it really feels like all the stars were aligned. So I love that. Thank you for sharing that story. And it really is a great title. It feels like a name. It feels like a really good brand also to hold that mission on. So awesome. I'm kind of curious because I do think, you know, I love seeing like business people, because I feel like that's something as artists, like we are not taught that we are our own business. And to see, you know, the both of you, queer people of color, these artists, but also business people, like I'm curious, like that, like how did you find for yourself specifically this bridge between like, I want to run my own businesses, like I want to be a business person, and also like I'm an artist, and there is this like tie together, and sort of like how those worlds came together for you?
That's such an interesting question, because my perspective on my journey is in a season of evolution. And so I think what I would normally share is that I always identified as a creative person. In my teen years, I was exploring that creativity through drawing and photography and acting. And my sister, who's 5 years older, by the time I was graduating from high school, she was already in college, and she would bring me to some of her classes. And I got exposed to higher education. And through my academic career, I was able to develop my first company, which has now existed for 15 years. And in that journey, I had decided, I want to learn how to make money by being creative. I'm not interested in being a starving artist. I'm thick and I've got to eat. So that I think was my like original perception of what it was. But at this point, I'm also coming to terms with the reality that I'm first generation Mexican American, I'm light skinned, I'm English speaking, I'm college educated, and I present as male, even though I identify as non-binary. All of those privileges have opened doors for me that allowed me to engage with opportunity, that allowed me to learn about building business, about being strategic. And for that, I am grateful. But when it comes to impacting our communities that are not white, that are not cis, that are not straight, that kind of access does not exist for everyone in our space, which is not okay. And that has become the fuel for this next chapter. I think for Jason, we have very similar experiences in terms of being queer people of color. And Jason and I have talked a lot about, you know, we're both light skinned. Jason identifies as male and gay. A lot of the world interacts with me as a gay man, even though I'm like, I am pansexual and non-binary. And so we recognize the responsibility that we have to not only check our privileges, but to leverage our privileges to create safety for our talent and for the communities that we're engaging with. In terms of, you know, being on the creative side and being on the business side, it's rare because most creative people that I meet want nothing to do with the books. They want nothing to do with the calendar, the contracts, the strategies. They want to create. And that's where I found the success with my first company was I could really take that on for the creative and they can just focus on creating. And that's exactly the foundation I was able to lay out with Jason. Now, Jason is a sponge, one of the most brilliant people I have ever met in my life. And so working together, I think him observing me and the other people who have influenced his life, he's given so many shout outs to Janet Mock and his experience on Pose, these powerhouse professionals who have also influenced him to, you know, not just be a creative person, but to really take and claim space for himself in the business world.
That's beautiful. What's coming up for me in that is kind of what David has already touched on too. There's something like really queer about that, that's sort of like a decolonized mentality of people who are like, I have information or I have access, I know the process, and I'm only gonna share that with myself and my, you know, small inner circle. Whereas it sort of exists in these spaces, in queer spaces, BIPOC spaces, all these intersections of these kinds of spaces where information is, tends to be, or what I've found, tends to be shared out more often and wanting to bring people along and like give access to that information so that people aren't continue to not be like exploited and taken advantage of and like be able to create the opportunities for themselves.
I absolutely agree. I think what we're talking about, you will find more consistently in our communities because anyone who has not had knows what it's like to not have. And so they're more inclined to share with those around them. I do believe that even in our community, there is still a lot of gatekeeping. And to me, that's a trauma response. That is, I've had to really fight and survive just to get to this point. And so, of course, I'm going to gatekeep. But in the mind of that individual, it's not gatekeeping. It's protecting themselves. It's protecting what they've created. And we're never going to evolve beyond the trauma responses until the rest of the world stops traumatizing the community. And the best way that we can do that is by creating more access, by sharing resources, by walking the walk when it comes to increasing representation and diversity in all of the creative spaces that we're making ourselves present in.
Yeah, all of this, yes. And I think one of the things that you also talked about earlier was like creating that space of protection also, you know, that our community isn't being exploited. And it's so easy for people to exploit any artist, I believe, but especially artists who are coming from different, you know, an artist in many ways is a marginalized community, you know, but and then add on top of that the ways historically other identities are even more marginalized in this world, you know. And one thing I think about a lot is like this relationship between talent and like a manager or an agent. Do you know, you're sort of taught you need to get a manager, you need to get an agent. And sometimes it's like, well, the first person who's like takes any interest in, you're like, okay, great, I'll sign up with you, you know? And what I love about your agency is that you're really like, no, actually we're going to see you in your entirety. We want you to bring your whole self instead of, I think sometimes feeling like I have to package myself in a particular way for someone so that they could sell me, you know? And I'm curious, you know, having been a manager for a while and representing talent out there in the world, like what do you see makes for the most important kind of partnership? Because I think of that as a partnership between talent and a manager or agent. And what advice would you give to like young artists, young queer artists who are out there looking for that collaborative partner in their business?
Sure. And thank you for that. I think the first thing that I always tell a creative person is that talent is subjective. And just because I'm not connecting to what it is that you're creating does not mean what you're creating is invalid or doesn't bring value into the world. It just means I'm not your audience. And the reason I start there is because as an artist, you absolutely have to build a team of people who believe in what you are creating and are enthusiastic about what you are creating. I have had a few opportunities to go hear from different business leaders and attend a few conferences. And one of the greatest comparisons I have ever heard is, you know, you look at the masses and they will go wild for anything that Beyonce does or really any major global artist. The enthusiasm is so prevalent, yet we don't extend the same enthusiasm to those around us. And to me, those are red flags. So as a young artist, or even a beginning artist, age is absolutely irrelevant. As an artist who is at the beginning of the journey, first and foremost, understand that that talent is subjective. And just because people are not connecting with you does not invalidate what you're creating. The second thing is build a team that is really going to rally for you and show up for you.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. I love that. And I love that advice. Yeah, it is subjective. And, you know, I think it's in that where you're like, okay, how can I package myself? How can I? And it's like, my thing is like, if you're having to ask those questions, those aren't the right people. Do you know, go to the people who see you, who want to see you in that wholeness and who want to champion that. So I love that.
Well, it's interesting because the idea of how do I package myself and make myself marketable? That's very real. I've been asked that question before. I will tell you that from my own perspective, when it comes to cultivating talent or signing talent or working with talent, whatever the circumstances are, I am not interested in working with people who are motivated by money and fame. I am not interested. I want to work with people who want to impact the world through whatever it is that they are creating. And I'm not saying that one is more valid than the other or anything like that. Because if you want to package yourself, be exploited, and make a quick dollar, that is your choice to make. That is your journey to embark on. And I wish you the best. For me, I want creatives who understand the power in which we all have within ourselves to really make a difference. And so, you know, I've had a few instances where people were just like, you know, I want to hit 10,000 followers. Like, how do I do that? And I'm actually thinking about someone that I consulted with briefly. And I was like, here are like the four steps that you can take to start building up a following. And they're like, but I don't want to do the work.
Right.
Okay. Thanks so much for the meeting.
Right.
Right. It's until you actually like lay that out to people and then they realize, oh shit, like how much goes into it. Like even listening to the story of the origin of Arrangency, right? And all of that work. I mean, for me, that's really exciting. And yes, I imagine it was like insane and wild, but like what a journey. I could like see the like montage playing out in my head, like some sort of like TV or film montage. But yeah, people just don't realize how much work actually goes into achieving the quote unquote overnight success. I feel like that's a really common.
When it comes to Arrangency, I think some people are experiencing it as fast success, but Jason and I have been working towards this since 2019. So here we are 2 years later, and all of that time was dedicated to building a partnership and really understanding each other as individuals. So coming back to the question earlier about advising artists and selecting management or representation, that partnership is an absolute recipe to success. If you're signing to someone and they're not showing up for you and they're not following up with you and they're not checking in on you and they're not reminding you to do things, they may not be fully invested. And again, it depends on what path you want to take, because a traditional talent agency is really about pushing out the casting opportunities or the audition opportunities. And then it's up to the talent to really take those steps for themselves. Whereas Jason and I are doing a little bit more than that, because we're also engaging on the creative side and the management side, where the six talent that we've signed, to us, these individuals essentially have you know, I hesitate to say unlimited access because that's an exaggeration, but by comparison to the rest of the world, they have access to us to ask questions, to learn, to grow, to collaborate, to create. And we're working with them individually to define how they're going to build a business around whatever it is that they're creating. Now, we can't do that for thousands of people because we're only two people. So our goal is to continue growing and to build a team ourselves where we can have managers, agents, and in-house services that we can continue to extend and then grow the talent pool. One of our policies that we created in the launch of a Regency was that, you know what, yes, this is the six that we're signing and they're going to have access to XYZ, but that doesn't mean that the door is closed to everyone else in the world. And we have our open, or it's not an open call. We have a self-submit option on our website where you can share your information. Jason and I review those submissions at the end of every month. And what we're doing is categorizing by creative field and skill set or talent. And that way, when inbound opportunities come up that don't necessarily align with the talent that we have signed, we can still extend those opportunities to the people who have self-submitted.
That's beautiful. That's really, yeah, that's, I mean, I feel like that is also, again, going back to your values and sort of how the sort of methodology of the organization is really an action and not just an idea, you know, and, you know, it was really exciting to see the announcement of these six incredible talents. You know, I did the whole sort of binge social media just to see, you know, who were these folks. And I'm curious, you know, in that process, were these artists that you knew prior? Were they folks that you had been following? Are some of these folks that came from this self-submission? Like, how did you come upon these six artists, you know, and how did they become the first six that you all were like, these are the ones we want to really invest in right now?
Well, some I had already worked with through House of Eon, which is another entity of Jason's. This is a performance house that has existed for years now. It was one of the first projects that Jason delegated to me. And a performance house is a group of essentially voguers who go out and perform or host mini mock balls. So I knew some of the prospects from that network. And then we were introduced to a few others. And then Jason was scouting and had his eye on a few others. I don't mean to sound passive at all, but I really left it to Jason to take charge on the talent because in any business partnership, it's unrealistic to expect both people to do all of the things. And what I was observing is, okay, I'm working with Jason to launch this as one of his pillars. And then when I became co-founder and business partner, obviously that changed the dynamic as well. But I felt like I can trust Jason. Jason has a great objective eye for engaging talent. And through House of Eon, I mean, he had already identified so many incredibly talented people. This may sound neurotic, but I remember in business school, one of my teachers was like, you could sell ketchup popsicles to people wearing white gloves. Like that's like a skill. And so that kind of stuck with me. And I felt like, you know, whatever direction this goes in, I know that I'm going to enter the space confidently that I can help make a difference in these people's lives. And so, you know, at first we were like, we're going to sign 15 people. And then it became 12 people. And then it became 10 people. And then we landed on six because we came to terms with the reality of that we're two individuals and we sign more than this. What we'll end up doing is overcommitting, under delivering, and we cannot do that to our community. So we facilitated the interviews and we connected with everyone one-on-one, and Jason had his set of questions. I had my set of questions. Sometimes we were asking each other's list of questions and just connecting with the artists one-on-one. And these six individuals, and again, this is not saying anything about anyone else, but because I have the opportunity to connect with them one-on-one and in person to feel the fire and to feel the ambition and the creativity and the compassion for what it is that they want to accomplish. So that's ultimately, I don't know if I answered the question, but that's how we got to the sex. And they're amazing. And then again, we have this, like, at this point, almost 2,000 person in network talent roster that isn't signed to our agency, but we have our eyes on them. And as opportunities come up, we'll engage them with those opportunities.
That's wonderful. And just also the amount of love and attention that has already been given to you all is incredible. I mean, the official announcement of the launch coming in Variety magazine. And I also just saw ABC News. They were at your launch party, if I'm not mistaken.
And we love our PR team, Triple R Creative, also based in New York. You know, they started representing Jason as an artist in 2019. And then when we decided to create a agency, it made absolute sense to engage Triple R. And so the funny thing about Variety for me is that at that point, I was in a very different place and I was going through the motions of getting the business up and running. And so I was in autopilot. I was asked for a bio. My bio is, like, so outdated. I've had such an unconventional career. And so I just, like, revised my bio and included, you know, recently out as non-binary, sent it to Triple R, you know, proof of the press release, proof the photo selects, and just continued on into the day-to-day business of launching this new entity. And then the article came out and I'm reading it and I was like, oh, I just came, like, out on a, you know, national, possibly global scale in this announcement of our agency, and it threw me for a loop. I don't know that I was fully ready. I don't regret it, of course, but the experience really kind of just pushed me off the cliff to really step into my power and reclaim my sense of self, and been very liberating, but also, like, confusing to navigate the world with a more clear sense of self, but still, like, confused in how I'm interacting with the people around me. Because for them, again, most of the world interacts with me and perceives me as a gay man, but that's not my identity. So it's been an interesting experience. But the Variety article, I think, again, is a great example of taking and making space. You know, I feel like a lot of cis white people probably read Variety. So to have two queer people of color, you know, beautiful photography, the photographer also a queer person of color, and to share our stories was such a powerful moment. And then when it came to announcing the talent roster, we wanted it to be a community-centric outlet. So we reached out to them to share that announcement because we wanted the talent to really be celebrated and embraced by the community as well.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And thank you for sharing that story. I think that's just a deeply vulnerable and personal, and congratulations to you. I relate in many ways to that sort of sense of identity and finding oneself and beginning to unpack those parts of yourself that maybe, like, never made sense and, like, are finally starting to, as language continues to evolve and as we continue to evolve as people. And really powerful, and like, congratulations, really take up that space. I think it's really important. And it is, you know, it is like a platform like Variety, like, at a certain point, it's like, yeah, whatever. It's just, you know, but it is, I think you're right. Like, this is a space where many, many cis white people have taken for granted. They're like, oh, it's just my next one, you know? And I think to be able to occupy space in the way that you have, and to be able to reclaim your identities and what you're doing for these artists. And I think also with, like, aesthetic, yes, like those photos, I was like, yes, give me aesthetic, you know? It's so important.
Yes.
Oh my God. So I have to tell you, when I got into the, I'm a very no frills person, but there was a day and age where there was not an inch of me that was not covered in body glitter. Like, I was a diva, and in retrospect, the complexities of conforming really got the best of me in some of my adult years. And so I've been stepping back into expressing myself with how I present myself to the world. And I got into the makeup chair and I was like, listen, I want that lower lid Thea eyeliner for this moment. I want there to be a little bit of like that skin gap.
Yes.
And it was like just paying homage to the incredible women in my family, who many of which, you know, they celebrated who I am from a very young age and empowered me to be the, you know, the self-proclaimed and expressive diva in my 20s. And so now through this journey, I'm finding my way back to that space. And even in the partnership with Jason, because when we decided to become co-founders, my brain defaulted to like, you're the celebrity, you're gonna be the face of the company, you're gonna target the talent, and you're gonna really like be at the forefront. I'm gonna be in the background the way that I've been in a lot of my career, to handle the logistics and the operations and all of that. And then Jason was like, absolutely not. We're co-founders. You need to be at the photo shoot. You need to be in the press release. You need to be at the interviews. And I was like, what again? Like, I didn't do any of that. And I realized that, you know, my hesitation was because I was still reconnecting to my sense of self. I was still reconnecting to my voice. And so, the experience has strengthened that muscle. And so I'm very appreciative of Jason for pushing me to step out of my comfort zone and really for the experience at large, because it's been very empowering.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm really appreciative for Jason for pushing you too, because I think it's really important. You know, I think oftentimes we see these moments or initiatives or organizations that are like, we are for the people, you know, and then you look at who's doing it and you're like, but you're not the people, do you know? And it's like, that's great. That's wonderful. And also like, it is so important. And like, I mean, I think that's one of the things that we think of at Soul Project. And I have another organization that I run, the Movement Theater Company. And that's been a big part of us, both organizations, is it's important that people see who those artists are that are doing the administration, that are making the thing happen. And it's important that we see people who look like us, who feel like us, who are unafraid to take up the space, because it is, especially when you think of like business, and I feel you when you're like, I let my light shine, like dim a little, because I was in these spaces where I didn't feel like I could. And I think that's why, you know, when this opened up, like we were like, Joey and I, we were like, oh my gosh, look, like that's so exciting. Like, look, here are other queer people of color who are Latine, who are doing it and who are taking up that space. And, you know, it's not like some white dude who's like, oh, I love queer people of color, do you know? And you're like, awesome, cool. But like, step out of the way, do you know? So I'm deeply appreciative to Jason, and I'm deeply appreciative of you, you know, because I do think it's important, especially for you know, talking earlier, like artists not wanting to do the business side of things. And I think so much of that is because we don't see ourselves there. And it's important to see ourselves there and to be like, oh shit, like there is space for me there. And like, I can give a shit and I can reclaim my space and I can take ownership of my own journey. So I'm really excited for y'all. And I'm like, yes, yes. And keep going. More glitter.
Thank you. You were talking about the white dudes that, like, I love queer people of color, but get out of the way. I agree. You know, step to the side and or give us money.
Yeah.
I think those are like the two best ways to really make a difference. I love very specifically how Gen Z just has their Cash App like on every profile public listing.
Yeah.
Cause like, yeah, like get the money. You're not gonna get what you don't ask for.
Yeah, yeah. And not being afraid to ask for what you need. Do you know, and then say, thank you, step aside, do you know, as opposed to thank you here, let me change the name to everything to be about you. It's like, no, actually just give the money and step aside and make that space.
Or walking away from the things that no longer serve you or haven't served you. And you just like finally make that decision to walk away from it.
Oh my gosh. The amount of things that I have been walking away from this Scorpio season, honey.
Yes.
I am embracing it and I feel powerful. I feel confident and it's scary to take risks. It's scary to bet on yourself. It's scary to really put yourself out there. But the more that you do it, the more confident you will become. And I've had, you know, the past few months conversations with myself. Am I making the right choices? Am I working hard enough? Am I doing enough to make an actual difference in the world? And it's so easy to be consumed by that mentality, which is, you know, hustle culture adjacent. And it's important to pause because we are truly in a capitalist society where money is king, and you need to play into the system, or as people like to say, play into the game in order to move ahead. But it's also equally important to check yourself and make sure that you are not completely consumed by this idea of having to be productive 8 hours a day or 7 days a week or whatever the case may be. And I have found so much clarity in slowing down and taking some time for myself, and also reaffirming to myself that I've been doing this for 15 years at this point. Period.
Yes. I mean, I don't know. Yes. Yes.
You know what you're doing.
In this moment of, you know, saying no and slowing down, you know, one of the questions that we've been asking all of our folks, our guests, have been, you know, like, how are you centering self-care? How are you taking care of yourself these days? Especially, you know, reminder that we are still in the middle of a global pandemic, as you said. And so, yeah, you know, like, you've launched this company, you've changed the game for 6 incredible artists, you're giving back to so many other artists, and you're still welcoming more folks to let you know that they're out there. How are you centering yourself? How are you taking care of yourself and finding those moments of just grounding?
You know, my relationship with self-care is also evolving. It used to be very skin deep. I'm getting a facial today. I'm taking a bubble bath. And those are all tools in which you take care of yourself. I have been able to center myself and really take care of myself by expressing myself through writing. And I used to approach journaling in a very like biographical way. This is what happened today. And now my notebooks look like they're being occupied by an insane person, because sometimes I just like want to like write really big words that express how I'm feeling. Sometimes it's this like 3-page analysis on like a 2-minute moment. Other times it's reflective, but I found that by not following the way journaling is presented to the world, I was able to explore that a little bit more in a more meaningful way. And it's helped with just like connecting to myself. So last year when I relocated to Chicago, during the pandemic, I took a risk, and this was kind of early on in the pandemic. I went to a protest for Black trans lives, and I was really scared. I was terrified of what was going on with this global pandemic. I was terrified of protests. I was terrified of police brutality. And I have this tattoo on my arm that says "Too Queer to Fear." And so I decided to like take that and make it a protest sign. So I was using Sharpie markers to outline and fill in. And we all know how streaky Sharpies are. So I was just like, I was like, what the hell? This is like aesthetically not the direction that I want. And I just like lost it. And I just started like scribbling and like zigzagging. And I ended up creating this font treatment that brought like an eeriness to the phrase "Too Queer to Fear." Anyway, I ended up framing that and hanging it up in my home. And I've been staring at it, and it's like, you know what, I want to explore that further. So I went and I bought some canvases and some, you know, fat Sharpies. And I did one recently that says "Love Kills," because again, I'm walking away from people and things.
Yes.
And so just exploring myself creatively and not limiting my sense of self to like being a business person or being corporate or whatever the case may be. There are so many ways to take care of yourself. I think it's important to note that self-care has become really trendy.
Totally.
A lot of the recommendations out there are very surface level. So that's one thing for anyone listening who's about to embark on the self-care journey. The other thing is that self-care is often synonymous with healing, and it's important to not be in a constant state of unpacking and healing. You absolutely have to pause and appreciate the progress that you've made and give yourself the accolades and give yourself the pat on the back, give yourself the hug, because self-care is not easy. It's not pretty, but it is so worth it.
I love that.
Yeah, that's interesting how self-care has been so commodified and been made into an aesthetic too. You know, I feel like I see that pretty often on social media.
Oh my God, yeah. The TikTok self-care aesthetic is like those weird like crocheted things that people hang on their walls and like flowers and like three plants. And all of a sudden,
I'm also grateful that unfortunately our listeners cannot appreciate this, but we, you know, the story that you just shared about the two creator fear and the framing of the sign, we're seeing it right now in your beautiful home.
Yeah. You want to see the love kills?
Yes. I'll show you after. I love that. I love that. It's like exorcism through art.
Yes.
Yeah. And just again, a reminder, I think in that sense, to reclaim space, reclaim your identity, you know, reclaim yourself. And I love that. I love that reminder that it isn't skin deep only, and it doesn't look like what's being sold to you in this capitalist society, but it is about you and yourself and taking that time, you know, that time to also just acknowledge where you are. I think that's really important. You know, it's such white supremacy culture to feel like we're not doing enough, or like, did I do enough today? And I think one of the big things that I've learned is like, I've done enough today and I'm gonna check out now. And that's okay. Do you know? That's okay. Like, I got up and I like maybe made the bed today, and that might be enough. Do you know?
You know, I'm so happy you said that, because in one of my first conversations with the talent that we've been working with, we were talking about that in context of like mental health and managing your mental health while trying to be successful as an artist, as a creative person. And so for anyone who's listening, who is struggling with mental health, which I feel like anyone in our community can be or is, what you just said in terms of sometimes getting out of bed is the goal and the win. Sometimes taking a shower is the win. And I've had so many, I was diagnosed with depression at a very young age. And it's something that I've had to really embrace and come to terms with, that there will be no day where I'm magically not going to be subjected to depression. It will come, it will go, it will stay, it will leave. And I have a responsibility to myself to manage that, and also to communicate to the people around me when, you know, I need to fall back or take care of myself. So, you know, self-care is another, I think, important ingredient to success. It looks different for everyone. It feels different for everyone. And you just have to be willing to explore yourself and the world around you to identify what makes sense for yourself.
Ricardo, thank you so, so much for being here with us. We so appreciate you taking the time to chat. And like you shared so many wonderful things. I'm so grateful. Before we let you go, let our listeners know where they can connect with you and Arrangency.
Sure. So you can connect with us on Instagram at Arrangency. Apparently, thanks to Jason, you can now connect with us on Twitter as well. I found out. Fine. Also, I believe it's _ Arrangency. I'm not on Twitter, so I don't fully know, but just look us up, Arrangency. And as far as if you want to connect with me personally, Ricardo X Sebastian is my IG. And well, y'all know how to find Jason on IG as well.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And we hope you have a wonderful day. We'll talk to you soon.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back. We just wrapped up our interview with Ricardo. And just a little bit of a tidbit. They ended up sharing some of their art with us after we finished up the interview. And it's gorgeous. I mean, yeah, their whole, just from what we could see of their home, it looked beautiful.
Beautiful aesthetic. Which is reflected, I think, in the branding and the website for her agency. And honestly, like, it was such an inspiring conversation, you know, really hearing someone who is leading from their values and centering community in their work and, you know, really successful in their work as a business person and in their career and in their journey. And, you know, could easily, if they wanted to, be selfish and just say, it's all for me, but that's not their value. You know, their value is community and giving back. And even with her agency, this opportunity for like building up the community around them and with them and for them and from them. And I just thought that was really inspiring. And you can see that in the values and in their art, in the phrases and the missions that they stand by and for. And I just think that was really beautiful.
Yeah. I'm also just really inspired. I think this got brought up during the interview, but just this idea of creative entrepreneurship and people taking ownership of themselves and really being able to push themselves forward and put themselves out there and feel safe enough and confident enough to do so. And like you said too, like there's that inkling I think that people sometimes have of like, I can keep this all to myself, but especially when it comes to communities of color and especially at the intersection of like the queer community in particular, like that is just such a, you know, we're so much better when we've come together. And the fact that this, you know, this is co-founded, this is a co-created partnership between Jason and Ricardo is like a testament to that like shared leadership and looking at each other and understanding each other's strengths, and being able to complement those two things to make something wonderful and uplift all these artists, and even like the incredible artists that are already, you know, that they've launched with too,
and their commitment to the community beyond just the artists who are signed. Like I loved hearing Ricardo talk about that like we pay it forward whenever and wherever we can. So if someone is looking for something or someone that we don't have in our roster, you know, there is this database that they've collected of incredible talent in the industry, and they're always giving back, you know. And just looking at the website now, the first thing is making and claiming space, and you just see that in their entrepreneurship. You see that in the way they're making and claiming space, not only for themselves but for the greater BIPOC and queer community, queer and trans community. So really, really, really powerful.
Absolutely. I just love talking to them. It was so nice.
Yeah, it was really, yeah, just like nourishing conversation. And it's always really wonderful to, you know, be able to speak with someone who is at that intersection of entertainment and business, you know, who is both a creative and also a business person, mm-hmm. and is sitting at that nexus of, you know, it is capitalism, it is business, you know, and at the same time, how do you still center social justice? How do you sort of find those ways to combat those capitalist tendencies, you know, and really center the real work, and to do so leading from a place of just alignment and authenticity. It's really inspiring. Mm-hmm. I remember we were just so excited to talk to them. So I'm glad it finally happened.
Yeah. Making that shift of people over profit for sure.
Absolutely.
I think that's kind of, I think, yeah, that's definitely that moment that we're in now. Or at least I should say, not to discredit, you know, the work that has gone on for years for people to acknowledge that. But I think with the rise of visibility and the way that just we can provide information to people and how much access people have nowadays, like it's becoming more of a prevalent conversation of prioritizing people over profit. And it's really hopeful to see as we continue to emerge from the depths of this global pandemic, just still ongoing and still happening. Thank you all so much for tuning in. We know it's been a minute. The world is reopening. and people's schedules are getting full again. So it is definitely the challenge that's come before us, especially in trying to continue to remotely produce Soul Talk, but it is a fun challenge to navigate.
They're here for it.
Make sure that you are following Ricardo and Regency. All of their information will be linked into the show description. And thank you all for tuning in. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to Soul Talk. Soul Talk is a branch of the Soul Project, a national theater initiative dedicated to producing the work of Latinx playwrights in New York City and beyond. Co-hosted by David Mendizabal and Joey Reyes. Edited by Iris Zacarias. You can follow us at www.soulproject.org, on Instagram and Twitter at Soul Project NYC, and on Facebook at The Soul Project. Thank you for listening. Sufro la inmensa pena de tu